Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and you're listening to Cradio. Today, I'm blessed to be joined by 22-year-old Lauren from the US, who'll be sharing her story with us today. Lauren, thank you so much for making the time to speak with me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
First of all, could you just tell me a little bit about your background, your upbringing up until your senior year?
Yeah, so I was raised in a typical Christian home. I grew up in church. I attended, you know, every Sunday and every Wednesday. But I was really missing that true relationship with Christ. And that's kind of where when my life, you know, just was falling apart. Once I got into high school, I just started hanging out with all the wrong people. I had been homeschooled previously, and so high school and public school was just so new to me. I started hanging out with, you know, all the bad kids in school. I would sneak out at night. I would drink. I would swear. I would dress immodestly. Just not a life that I should be living. I kind of kept it a secret from my parents and my family, so it wasn't something that anybody knew about and could even help me, you know, get out of it. But to me, that's the way I was supposed to be living. That's how the world lived, and so that's how I thought I should be living as well. But when I became a senior in high school, I had met a guy, and he was just so amazing. He was so sweet and so kind. But soon after we started dating, he became a totally different person. He became very controlling. He controlled who I would talk to, who I would text. The week after we started dating, he had invited me over to hang out and to play basketball with him at his house. And a little bit into playing basketball, I was getting really hot and wanted to go in and get a drink. So as we were going into his garage to get a drink, he had decided that he no longer wanted to play basketball, but had wanted to have sex. And before we ever began a relationship, I had told him that that was not something that I had ever wanted to do with him, that I wanted to wait until I was married to do that. And he was perfectly fine with it. He accepted that, and he was very excited that that's what I had chosen. But that day, everything kind of changed. He didn't care what I had to say about that. And so he had forced me to have sex with him. Things got really crazy after that. I was terrified to death, and I didn't want to tell anybody what had happened. So I kept it a secret from everybody. Shortly after that had happened, I wasn't feeling really good. And so I knew something was up, and so I had taken a pregnancy test, and it came back positive. And so I was a senior in high school. I was only 17 years old, and I had just been raped by my boyfriend and found out that I was pregnant. I was just in a whirlwind of shock and terrified and not sure really what to do. So I just continued to keep it a secret for a while. And then I eventually finally told some friends and told my parents what had happened. My parents were not happy at all, as you can imagine. I didn't actually tell them that I was raped. I just told them that I was pregnant because I was too afraid of the consequences from Kevin had they found out that I was pregnant and by rape. My dad had told me when he found out that I had to have an abortion, that I wasn't allowed to keep my baby if I truly was pregnant and that I'd have to abort it. But that's something that I've never believed in. I never agreed with abortion, and I've always thought it was wrong. I've always viewed life as something very precious, and I could never imagine taking the life of another human being. So against my father's wishes, I decided I would keep, you know, I wanted to keep my child. But as time went on, my parents decided that I needed to look into giving my daughter up for adoption. And so I was taken to a place here in America. We have Christian clinics where you can go and just get information on adoption or keeping your child. So I went and talked to somebody about adoption, and I cried the entire time. It was something that I truly didn't want to do, but I knew I needed to look into it because it would be so hard to raise my daughter on my own as a single mom. But as I was leaving, they handed me a carnation, and attached to that flower was a Bible verse, and it was Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And it was right at that moment that I just felt such a peace in the Lord that that He wanted me to keep my daughter, that I was to raise her on my own. It was going to be really hard, and I didn't know exactly how it was all going to work out, but I knew that that's what He wanted me to do. So I told my parents my decision, and they supported me in that. I could tell that the Lord had really, you know, changed their hearts, and He had softened their hearts to be able to accept that decision. When I graduated high school, I graduated on time, and 3 weeks after that, my daughter was born. She was born on June 10th, 2009, and she was healthy as can be. It was right after high school that I had totally changed my life around. I started getting back on the right track with the Lord because I knew that by getting pregnant, and even though rape is such a hard thing and a horrible thing, I knew that that was my way out of the sinful life that I was living. I knew that the Lord still cared about me and loved me so much that He wanted to give me a new life, and this was how it was going to happen. So I turned my life around. I started getting truly involved in church and not just attending on Sundays or Wednesdays. I rededicated my life to the Lord, and I have since joined a local church. I actually just became a member, and the Lord has just done incredible things in my life through this. He's given me so many opportunities to share my testimony with people.
I'll just go back a little bit. I mean, you said at first you were, you know, when everything happened and you found out you were pregnant, you kept it to yourself what had actually happened. You said you were afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been a very lonely and difficult experience for you to carry that on your own. How long was it before you actually told people, and how, like, what carried you through that time?
I didn't tell people I had been raped until I was probably like 6 months or longer. So, I told my parents. It happened in September, the end of September, and I told my mom around Christmas time. But I didn't tell her everything that had happened. I just told her a little bit. It wasn't until after my daughter was born, that I actually told my mom everything that happened. I kept the majority of the details a secret for a very, very long time, just because of the fear that that something was going to happen to me if I told them, that He was going to try and come and do something. That was really, really hard, you know, having to just keep this all inside and not tell anybody and let people just, you know, sit there and judge you, you know, not knowing what really happened.
I can imagine. I mean, obviously anyone facing a pregnancy in their teen years, it's a difficult thing, but in those circumstances, even more so. But you said, you know, you didn't even consider abortion. It wasn't an option for you. What had sort of given you that mindset? What gave you that courage?
I have two family members actually that had an abortion before. And so I think it was partially that made me realize just like what they were really doing. And growing up in church, I always knew, you know, how precious life was, and that there's so many alternatives other than abortion. But it was really, you know, just the Lord in my life, and just the Holy Spirit just speaking into my heart as to what I really needed to do. And when I received that Bible verse, I just knew right then, you know, that the Lord had a plan, and that His plan, you know, was definitely not abortion, and that His plan was an adoption. You know, we know how much the Lord values life, and there's so many verses that talk about how blessed a man is to have a quiver full. And He's always, you know, talking about, you know, go forth and multiply. And we know that the Lord talks about, I'm really struggling with this. That he gives life and he takes life away. And so I always knew that was never something that man should be in charge of, that man should never have the right to end another human being's life just because that human being could come and affect their life. But that the Lord has a plan for everything, and that no matter what, he will get them through.
That's a beautiful gift of faith that you have. Can I ask, Lauren, you know, a lot of women talk about a fear, a lot of women who have been through a similar experience and who have conceived through rape, they talk about a fear or a struggle that, you know, they'll have that child and that child will constantly remind them of that experience, of that trauma, or they're scared that they won't be able to love that child. Or, I mean, were they some of the things that went through your mind? It sounded like you loved your baby from the beginning.
Yes. You know, I have to be honest, I have a lot of those fears even still. My daughter is biracial, and so it's something that's an easier reminder for me because I look at her, you know, and she has tanner skin than I do, and I have straight hair, and she has curly hair that's a little bit frizzy. And so I have to be honest with you. You know, I still have those fears sometimes just looking at her and just being reminded of everything. But I don't think that fear should hold us back from anything. I think if we truly trust in the Lord, then we know that he's going to get us through. And I tell people all the time, I'm thankful that this happened to me. Because if it didn't, I would have continued down a horrible path. I wouldn't be where I am now. A few years ago, I was able to speak at the Ohio Capitol building for a heartbeat rally. They're trying to pass a bill. It's called the Heartbeat Bill. And if it passes, it would be one of the strongest bills to help women not to be able to have abortions. And it's through being raped that I was able to speak there, and that I've been able to get so involved with pro-life stuff. Because had this never happened, then I would just be continuing down a horrible path. And I wouldn't want to know where I would have ended up. But it's through trust in the Lord that even though I may be reminded of this sometimes, you know, he brings to light good memories of my daughter and not just all the bad memories of how she got here.
So tell me about your little girl. What's she like? How has your life changed since having her?
She is amazing. She's probably the cutest little girl there is. My life has definitely drastically changed. Before Isabella came, I had planned to go to school to be a dental hygienist. And since having her, I realized that my role as a mom is to stay home with her. He gave her to me for a reason, and I want to make sure that I'm the one that, you know, is taking care of her the way that he's called me to. But she is so sweet. She has such a passion for the Lord. She's constantly telling other people, strangers in the store that she sees, about Jesus and about how he died on the cross for us. You can always tell when Isabella's in a good mood because when she is, she's singing. And she doesn't sing quietly. She'll sing at the top of her lungs different songs that she makes up about Jesus and about how he loves us. And the other day, she was actually singing a song about how it doesn't matter what clothes we put on or what makeup we put on, that we're already pretty because the Lord made us. And it's just so amazing. You know, just through having her, I have learned so much, and the Lord has spoken to me so much through her and just taught me, you know, what it's like to truly have that childlike faith. And I would have never experienced any of this if it wasn't for her.
She sounds like an amazing little girl.
She is.
And so you did say, you know, you're sharing your story with people for this pro-life cause because you want to protect life. I mean, what drove you to do that? What pushed you to want to share this story?
It definitely was not me, because as you can probably tell, I have a huge fear of public speaking. You know, and even though this is over the phone, I have such a huge fear of it. So it's not something that I enjoy for that reason, but it was definitely the Lord. He's definitely brought so many opportunities just within this past month, I think this is the fourth time that I've spoken. So it's something I enjoy in a sense for the fact that it gives me a greater opportunity to go out and share the gospel to so many more people than I necessarily would have been able to. And it helps me to be able to teach about life and how important and precious life truly is. So it's something that I enjoy for that reason, but at the same time, it terrifies me to death because I just hate public speaking so much.
Lauren, I just want to ask one more question. For those women who right now might have found themselves in a crisis pregnancy, in whatever way, and they just don't know how they're going to get through it, or they can't see an end to it, they can't see the future, and they're just afraid. I mean, what would be your message for those women?
First off, I just want to tell you, wherever you are, whoever is listening to this, if you're in this situation or know somebody, know that you are loved by a most high creator. He created you with a purpose and a plan, and no matter what you go through, he is creating this marvelous testimony in your life for you to be able to go out and to just share how mighty he is through things he's done in your life. And don't let a crisis pregnancy situation hold you back from that. In Psalm 139, it talks about how the Lord created our inmost being. He created us and had all of our days written before even one day began. So we know right there that the Lord is the one who created life. Man and woman might have sex, which it takes to have a baby, but it's the Lord who created that baby. So know that the Lord already had a plan for that baby, and he created that baby for a reason, and that you have such an amazing, it just chokes me up. You have such an opportunity to choose life for your child. Take my story of being raped and look at that as how it doesn't matter how your child is created. It doesn't matter what situation you're in, that life is still precious. You know, it wasn't a child's fault that it was created in a horrible situation. But just know that the Lord loves you and that he has such a plan for your life and that you just need to trust him fully. Just right now, you know, whatever you have to do, just give your life over to the Lord and to just fully trust that he's going to get you through this. If you believe in him and if you trust in him and have that hope, I know that baby wasn't created just to be aborted, but that baby was created to give you new life and to just trust in that, trust in the blessing and the precious gift that he's just given you.
Lauren, you've left me speechless because, you know, you're such an incredible witness, and not just to life, to choosing life, which is such a courageous thing in itself, but just your trust in God can be a lesson to many people that God really has his hand in things and that, you know, he can turn our scars into stars, so...
Isn't he just incredible? I mean, the Lord is so amazing. He just blows my socks off every day.
Praise God. Yeah, just thank you so much for sharing your story. And we'll continue to pray for you and for whatever the Lord has in store for you and little Isabella.
Thank you so much. We both appreciate it.
That was Lauren sharing her inspiring story of choosing life for her daughter. For information about services that are available for crisis pregnancies in Australia, visit pregnancycarenetwork.org.au. You can also get in contact with your local Catholic care agency. For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.
Radio.org.au